Important dates in Christian history. 1545. The Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, it addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of variety. Why? We have a variety of stories. Do they make sense together? No. No, they don't. We like themes. Therefore, we've put together this concoction of stories, slapped a really lame theme song on them, and called it Wide World of Christian Stories. Yeah.
Are you good?
Oh, yeah, I'm real good. This is Wretched Radio. Hit my post, baby. Yeah,
you're standing straight up.
Yeah, I hit my post. This is the type of industry talk that happens in every profession. A group of workers in the same industry, they get together. It's after work. It's at the Christmas party. And they talk about their day or their week. And they talk about what they accomplished. Well, here it is in radio. I really nailed that post today on Wide World of Christian Stories, didn't I? That's it. That's radio industry talk right there. Let's go to Belgique, shall we? This is a publicly funded radio program that gets broadcast to children. They're at some sort of convention of sorts, and you're going to hear a lot of racket. Imagine it's a guy. Looks like it's a guy wearing some sort of a jumpsuit with a helmet and a face mask on. He's got a sledgehammer, and he's walking around smashing stuff, specifically a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah! Let me ask.
Now, not only, by the way, is it a statue of the Virgin Mary? It's a statue of Jesus, too. Some reporter got together with the kids who put together this little radio presentation to ask them some questions. I don't know that it demands a lot of my commentary because the dude kind of nailed him to the wall. Why are you, as a publicly funded radio station, smashing Christian statues? Now, I know there are some people who would be all in favor of that because it's iconography. The point is, he's curious. Why Christian statues of Jesus and Mary only?
Let me ask you a question, because you mentioned respect, respecting each other. I'm thinking of respect towards all of the listeners. You played a video in there. What was it? The smashing video. You were doing a smashing class.
Yeah, we had a rage room because we were beating the blue out of the Monday. So people could text us like, I have a blue Monday because my car broke and everything. It was, okay, we'll smash something for you, Callum.
Bam! And you smashed.
And then he was out. They said like, wow, this really felt good.
And it was...
That helps, does it? There's therapy for somebody who's having a blue Monday right there. Just smash, have somebody vicariously smash something for you. Yes, that will ease your woes.
Pretty intense. And I saw in one part you had a statue of Jesus. Now, I know you laugh, but do you think that for many listeners, they would find that so deeply offensive to take a bat and to smash Jesus into pieces?
Wasn't it Madonna, by the way? No, it was... No.
There was one, I think, of Madonna, the Madonna and the Child, and there was one of Jesus.
So the thing, that's a very good question, because I think it might offend people. I think in Belgium, not really. We're not a very religious country.
So it's not offensive. And how not religious does it need to be for it to be offensive, son?
Definitely not the listeners of Studio Brussels, but what we did, all the things we smashed, we made it very clear as well that these were all things that were already broken. So the statue, it was turned face towards the back of the room, so you wouldn't see the face as well, because that was already, it was a broken statue.
Okay. Now, if you wanted to grab the microphone from the reporter to like go after this group of statue smashers, you don't need to. He's got this.
Well, but I think I would have been more careful in another country, definitely. In Belgium, it is not a big issue.
Let me ask you this. If you were doing the video again, would you smash a symbol of the Prophet Muhammad?
There it is! There it is. Now, at least the dude's honest.
That is a very dangerous one.
You wouldn't do it.
Typical.
You know, it's the price you pay for being the religion of peace. I mean, us. We are the religion of peace. Now, I know they purport to be the religion of peace, but I think history has revealed they're a bellicose religion. And that actually, it does have some benefits. People don't smash your iconography.
Not.
No, because that would be inappropriate, because in Belgium there are many...
But there are Christians too. I know the Pope visited Belgium recently.
I know there are Christians, but it's... since we are all from the Christian tradition, I think it's like laughing with yourself.
What?
I think the word that we're looking for is busted.
Or like...
But you would never do it with Muhammad.
No.
Star of David for Judaism.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
It's the same thing. I think we have all been raised Catholic. So that...
They're just scrambling for anything here. We can do that because, well, we were raised Catholic.
Gives us a little more credit to do this, but it's harder if you do it from a religion that you know nothing about. I think that is very dangerous as well.
No, it's just dangerous.
No, some of the main ideas and teachings are the same. It's just interesting watching it. I cover spirituality and religion normally on the BBC and other networks.
By the way, the Muslims actually should be offended because in Islam, Jesus is a prophet.
So when you see it, you see that hypocrisy. Yeah. Jesus Christ, the statue, smash it in two, but never for Muhammad or for anything to do with the Jewish faith.
No.
And you have listeners who are Christians too. And it's taxpayer-funded VRT. It's the public broadcaster.
Absolutely. But I think you have to look at the specific audience of your station. I would definitely not do this on every station.
There's got to be some sort of term for that. Jason Lyle would know, like selective ethics. Well, if this, then doing that is okay. But if not, then it's not. No, it is either objectively wrong or it isn't.
But the Studio Brussels station is very alternative. We know that they're not very religious in any way.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's go to... Finnish land, shall we? Have you been tracking this story? I think we have here over the years because it's been going on for years. There's an MP, and I will not say her name right. P-A, and it's got a lot of dots above it. Is that an umlaut? P with an umlaut, I guess. V-I. Päivi? Räsänen. Found guilty of hate speech. What did this MP do? Well, the nerve of actually quoting... a Bible verse. She happens to be a grandmother of 12, by the way. It was a 3-2 decision of making and keeping available to the public a text that insults a group. It was a tweet from 2019. She quoted Romans 1:24-27. She was rebuking the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland for promoting LGBT Pride Month, questioning how the church could agree with shame and sin being presented as a matter of pride. And guess what? Now, she has, I think historically, there were two other trials she was acquitted, but this one, she was actually found guilty. Why? They also dredged up a pamphlet that she published in 2004 with a bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland titled Male and Female, He Created Them. That's a Bible verse too. Homosexual relationships challenge the Christian concept of humanity. And it states inside of the pamphlet that homosexuality is disordered, which the court found was an opinion that could insult homosexuals as a group on the basis of their sexual orientation. Anybody thinking about Canada right now, the piece of legislation they just passed? Same thing. You offend somebody, you insult somebody, it's a crime. It's a crime to make somebody feel bad. How's about this, Jimmy? I wonder if they would have a piece of legislation in Canada. They might, actually. You know, rich people, I don't think that they should have all that money. Now, a rich person could hear that and be offended, so I could go to jail for that. No, just if you speak out against LGBTQ stuff. That's what we're really looking for here. She was ordered to pay a fine of $2,080, 1,800 euros. Hey, wait a second. 2,000. Okay, that's so we're still on the wrong side. And the court prohibited physical and digital copies of the pamphlet from being distributed. She responded, I stand by my teachings on my Christian faith and will continue to defend my and every person's right to share their convictions in the public square. To her, I say, well done, madam. And as long as we're speaking about LGBTQ stuff, let's go to Dallas. It looks like they're going to be removing 30 rainbow-colored crosswalks. What they were doing there in the first place, don't know. But apparently it's in a part of town where that is a... there's a dense population of LGBTQ folks. They had put the crosswalks down and now they are saying, sorry, they can't be there because it's political speech. Okay, I can live with that. It's political speech. And for some reason, I don't know why, but this particular story struck me when it comes to the issue of Christians and politics. If you've got more Christians in politics, you're simply going to have decisions that are going to be better and more biblical. So I think that if we want to see bad legislation overturned, well, then we need more Christian politicians. And you know what that means? We need more Christians. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot-button issues, you're gonna get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens. Critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel your church is preaching sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord, Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vatican, heal thyself. Built-A-Fish, that was dreadful. This is Wretched Radio. That was supposed to be Johnny Carson doing Karnak the Magnificent or something. Maybe that's why the impersonation failed. I don't even know who I'm impersonating. Let's go to the Vatican. You don't even know who that was.
I have no idea.
Oh, that, you know Johnny Carson?
I know Johnny Carson.
Okay, Karnak the Magnificent.
Yep, nope, not
a clue. He used to come out with a turban. He'd trip up the stair, and then he would make a prediction. He had little cards inside of an envelope. He would hold it to his forehead, and he would tell you what's inside of the envelope. And then he'd open it up and then read the card, and it would be a joke. Okay, let me actually remember one of them. It was the one that I remember actually seeing when I was a kid and busting a gut. So he holds up the card to his forehead. Sis, boom, ba. Sis, boom, ba. And then he opens up the envelope, takes out the card. Describe the sound a sheep makes before it explodes. Sis, boom, ba. What that was. Right there. Hey, as a kid, it was funny. All right? I was... six or
it's
something.
Still, it's still funny.
Sis, boom, bah. What?
I get it.
What it was. I'm not making it any funnier by repeating it, am I? Pope Leo, he went to Monaco. That's a pretty wealthy. In fact, that might be like one of the most densely wealthy, populated, however you put those sentences, those words together, area in the globe. There's a lot of rich people there. Every good place in our hands, said the Pope, bears an intrinsic need not to be held back, but to be shared so that everyone's life may be better. In other words, he was telling the rich people of Monaco that you need to give your money away. I'm pretty sure that he flew in on a helicopter from the Vatican. Now, I've never flown a helicopter, but I'm pretty certain it's not cheap. Furthermore, the house he lives in, probably bigger than any house in Monaco. The art collection of the Vatican, bigger than any art collection in all of Italy. That's in fact, maybe the whole globe. It is like an amazing museum at the Vatican. Not to mention the people even think it could be trillions of dollars and the Pope scolding rich people to give their money away. I see. He gave the prince, so he visited with the Prince of Monaco. I think this is ironic too. A colorful artwork created by the Vatican's mosaic studio. It was an image of St. Francis of Assisi, a 13th century son of a prosperous Italian merchant who renounced his inheritance to help the poor. See what he did there? But one wonders, what was the cost of that Vatican mosaic of St. Francis of Assisi? How much did that cost? Apparently the streets were not lined with followers. Apparently the new Pope hasn't gained a whole lot of popularity, at least yet. Pope Leo, in another story from the New York Post, hosts exorcist summit at the Vatican over fears of worldwide surge in Satanism. I'm pretty sure the reformers would make a joke there, and it might be funnier than Sis Boom Ba, which I know the bar isn't very high, but the point is, really, he's concerned about that. Oh, what was? Did you see the interview? There's a young man. His name is Bryce Crawford, I believe. He's mega popular on YouTube. I think he's under the age of 20. He goes out into the streets and he has these encounters and he gets hundreds of thousands of views on every video. Super popular kid. Somehow he finagled an interview with Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland came onto the interview wearing this garish red, white, and blue leather jacket. Like he was wearing a leather flag on himself. Weird. But the kid, here's the irony of it. His shirt, this young man's shirt said, "I hate Satan." And yet he was interviewing him, basically. Sorry, but that's Ken Copeland. If that man does not qualify for being a false teacher, the word has no meaning. if we can't, and furthermore, there was another example of the incoherence. Now, this is, I grant you, of a different sort. He's a word, faith, prosperity guy. But what he would say to this kid, it's like, I tried to track him and it's like, you're not making any sense. I know you're talking like Bible language and such, but it's like, dude, you're incoherent with your ramblings. And I don't think he's 90 years old. He actually seemed pretty sharp. I mean, totally wrong on everything he said, but he seemed pretty sharp. And yet it didn't make any sense. And the young man, it's going to be interesting to, I wonder where this kid was coming from. I don't know what his background is, but he kept saying, you know, the problem that I have with the prosperity gospel, and he would try to articulate it, but Ken Copeland was wise enough to cut him off and, you know, kind of jump on something and move away from it, because to defend his prosperity gospel, the kid probably said it, I kid you, at least six times. You know, the issue with the prosperity gospel that I have is when I see people who are poor, well, let me just tell you about that. And he couldn't even finish his sentence because he had to cut him off because he knew if the kid kept talking, it could cause problems for him. And as I watched the interview, at least as much as I could stomach, oh, he flip-flopped and changed. Well, see, now prosperity doesn't always mean that. Please, you're all about money. You're all about private jets and red, white, and blue leather jackets. It was an atrocity, honestly. Pope Leo saying Jesus doesn't listen to prayers of those who wage war. That's interesting. So I guess God didn't hear the prayers of David or any of the kings that he told to go to war because God directed them in their battles. Quote, Jesus did not arm himself or defend himself or fight any war. Oh, this is... Jimmy, I'm thinking of somebody that we heard from last week that was talking like this. It's like, that Jesus was a loser. Who was that was saying that last week? Do you remember?
Yes. Oh, just a moment.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to give you a synapse. I thought maybe what happened in there? You disappeared from me for a second.
I was trying to think.
Jesus did not arm himself or defend himself or fight any war. Well, actually, he was fighting a war. It was a cosmic spiritual battle. And he didn't arm himself or defend himself because he was purposefully going to the cross, he was going to die for sinners. But rather, he revealed the gentle face of God who always rejects violence. No, God doesn't always reject it because he is the one who commanded the Jewish people in the Old Testament to go to war. Does he like it? No. But are there times when it can be just? And the answer is yes, it can be. When God commands war, it is just. So the Pope is repainting God apparently as a pacifist. Quote, rather than saving himself, he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. No, it was God's prearranged plan, embracing every cross born in every time and place throughout human history. Therefore, God does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them, saying, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That can't be true. Because war, while we do not rejoice in it, is sometimes a necessary governmental duty. Furthermore, I wonder if the Pope, if somebody started to attack the Vatican, would use his security guards to defend it. Of course, he would. Quote, this is revealing too, and it's a reminder, the Roman Catholic Church is indeed universalistic. We hear the painful groans of all those who are oppressed by violence and are victims of war. God is love, have mercy, lay down your weapons, remember that you are brothers and sisters. No, we are not all brothers and sisters. Different religions are, well, just that, different religions. And speaking of Roman Catholics, J.D. Vance apparently he's going to get into the vault to reveal those records on UFOs, but he said, I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons. I actually think that he's right, that some of them are. That why wouldn't we as Christians, rather than saying space alien in the sky, why wouldn't we say demonic activity? or some sort of demonic bibbidi-bobbidi in order to confuse us or to think that there's UFOs. Furthermore, Jason Lyle, I think we've got a video at fortisplus.org, free. Jason Lyle talked about UFOs. Most of the time when we finally kind of like figure out that picture, it's a sun flare. It could be a drone, something from the military that they're testing. We almost always get to explain them. One of the explanations, I think J.D. Vance is right, it could be demonic. But even if we can't identify the object, then it is indeed just that, an unidentified flying object, because we can't identify it. And so to assume that it's a space alien is to, I think, import a desire that there's alien life someplace else into something that we simply cannot describe. Who is the person that was talking like the Pope?
James Tallarico in his Easter sermon from last year.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that just went through my heart. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.